this. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for April 20th already in the year 2022. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here. That's a lot of twos, you know. April's a four.
Yeah.
2022. Well, wow.
We've been dealing with twos for a while. We had 2020. Pandemic started in February. And, you know, it's twos. Crazy.
Twos.
Thanks for joining me, Dr. Vicki. And thanks to those joining us live. We always appreciate your input, your contributions. Thanks to those catching up with us in the archives. We appreciate the time you take out of your week to listen in. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, there was a bit of a debate Dr. Vicki and I had. We were either going to talk about those lace doilies that you put on, like, tables and, you know, coffee tables and, you know, end tables and things like that, or we were going to talk about trust and forgiveness. And, you know, I feel like trust and forgiveness is probably the better one, but that's mostly just because I've been having a lot of trust issues with my dog, Ollie. Long-time listeners will know. He gets
but
into
lace,
stuff.
Lace doilies are so much fun.
And if I had any of them, he would get into it, and then he would chew it up and leave it in rags. And that's why I'm having trust issues. And I've allowed myself to forgive him, but I don't think I'm going to forget.
That's so funny.
But no, you actually...
To tell our audience in context, I was saying, you know, you're getting older when you appreciate, you know, lace doilies again. And, of course, Michael remembered his mother and his grandmother. Of course, my mother, her mother. They all love these lace doilies all the time. And, no, I don't have any around my house.
But, no, Dr. Vicki, you had the excellent idea of talking about this. And I think you had told me it's something that had been coming up recently. And I think it is, you know... It's always a good time to talk about it, but, you know, things are really harsh right now in the world all over. And I think that adds a little pressure to interpersonal relationships. And when it comes to trust and forgiveness, I mean, oh man, those are loaded topics, but interesting.
Well, you know, for me, we'll talk about your dog in a minute.
I don't know if I can trust him ever again.
Well, you probably can. At least not for a while. You know, I always say when it comes to animals and kids, one hard week will save you years of problems. So you've got some training to do there, Michael.
So, he'll age out of it. It's fine.
Yeah, you hope. I've known some who do not. So,
well, actually, he's
training.
When we get back to the dog, I'll tell more
You need
about
to
it.
watch Caesar Milan or something. Anyway, forgiveness. I have a friend of mine. She is now a retired teacher who goes back occasionally to sub. And really cool lady, cool teacher. But she's always taught the really little kids. And there was a situation in her, you know, she's subbing a class last week, and a situation came up. And she said, you know, Vicki, I've always had this problem where people automatically assume that to forgive somebody means to trust them. And I hadn't put that in context quite that way before, in the way she was delivering it. And she said, when, you know, she makes a student apologize for something to another student, she always asks the one receiving the apology to not say, oh, it's okay. Because, oh, it's okay means you can do it again. But if somebody's... Absolutely. So she said, she teaches these little people, if somebody says, I'm sorry, you say, thank you. Thank you for saying sorry. But it doesn't mean you need to trust them that they won't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
This way, whoever's apologizing isn't getting validated, you know, and that
not
it's
let up
okay.
The hook.
Yeah, and so we just say, thank you for apologizing.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And, you know, I think Dr. Zach made a great point. In chat, he always speaks that forgiveness is more about yourself. And that, you know, is true. When you carry a grudge around, it's carrying an emotional weight. And, you know, you have to weigh it. Is it worth it? You know, what is that providing? Why are you carrying that around? And forgiveness can be a part of that. But it's not forgetting. And I think...
You know,
just
sorry.
Like your point, I was just going to wrap up saying, it's you can't just let somebody off the hook all the time. You can't remove that from who they are. But go ahead.
Well, on another vein altogether, I was telling another friend of mine that my father's been passed for over 35 years, and I have never dreamed about him, hardly think about him. He wasn't a particularly nice man. But I've come to terms with that, worked through my stuff, I'm good. And in the last year, I've had like 4 dreams about him. He's coming to me in these dreams and these stories. And I was telling my friend Jean about it, and she said, well, maybe he's wanting forgiveness. I said, well, his forgiveness has nothing to do with me. I don't feel one way or the other about it. You know, I don't feel angry. I don't feel sad. I don't feel love. I don't feel any of these other things. It really has nothing to do with me. If he's flying around out there trying to get forgiveness, that's on him, that's for him. And so that's kind of where I'm right along with what Dr. Zach is saying. Forgiveness is more in line for yourself. So I totally get that, because I think that's what that is. So an acknowledgement, yeah, okay, I see you flying around and I hear you, and on your way, please, because it has nothing to do with me. You know,
yeah.
And absolutely nothing.
And it's just, you know, it's not, you, the best that you can do is express regret. Say a simple, like you'd say, you know, say, I'm sorry. I regret what happened. And from there on, it's out of your control. It's out of your, you know, ball's not in your court anymore. So, and then you can just leave it at that. And it's, and that's just, I don't know, not so much the ghost seeking forgiveness to move on to some kind of different afterlife, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
If that's what
you
it
know,
is, but more in just in interpersonal relationships.
Maybe. But I think on the flip side, if I've done something that I'm sorry for and I'm regretful of, and I want to say, gee, I'm really sorry I did that. I'm really sorry I said that. I was out of line. I am not looking for you to forgive me. I'm looking at you to share with you that I acknowledge what I've done, and I'm really going to work on that. That won't happen again. And even something as simple as a couple of years ago with my daughter, I mentioned something about parenting, and she was really offended. And, yeah, okay, I was out of line. you know, and I admitted that. I said, this is not my stuff, and I appreciate you're a great mom, and I was not in any way, you know, trying to say something that would hurt you or, you know, point the finger in any regard. So I'm going to watch what I say. I'm really sorry. And that's in building a relationship of acknowledgement that we're all working on ourselves. I'm not looking for forgiveness. It's the acknowledgement in how we build the friendship. Make sense? So to me, it goes both ways. I don't need anybody to forgive me for anything. I'm working on my own stuff. So I'm giving to myself that acknowledgement.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing, too. You know, it is... I'm not going to lie. There have been times where I've genuinely felt bad about something. You know, I lashed out when I shouldn't have, which is pretty much any time. I mean, there's rarely a good time to lash out. But, you know, and I've felt regret and I've apologized and, you know, the forgiveness made me feel better. And I can't deny that, you know, just knowing that, you know, the friendship was still secure and that it, or whatever the situation might be. Truth be told, that was something in my younger, more brash days as opposed to my older, wiser age now. But it is, everything in life's a balance. And, you know, when we've talked a lot about forgiveness and that notion and, you know, this kind of, this idea, but what about the trust? Can you, everything's a varying degree.
Yeah.
But can you have that trust again? And, you know, you're also talking about forgiveness in relation to, you know, these dreams and things of your father looking for forgiveness. But, you know, how can you repent? How can you make it better at that point? His time in this existence is over. That opportunity is lost.
Yeah. Well, but again, I'm here and it has nothing to do with me. And so I know Dr. Zach has said, did he have any wrongdoings that perhaps he'd feel guilty about on the other side? I don't know. And again, that has nothing to do with me. You know, I'm kind of neutral on it.
Ship sailed.
You know, it's I guess this is where I've always questioned the word forgiveness. What does that mean? Because we do not forget. And I know somebody earlier in the chat said that, and I'm sorry I lost the name here, but we, and you said it too, Michael, we don't forget. We file that, but we all want to be trusting. That's just innate in the human experience. We want to believe. We want to trust. And of course, Dr. Kelly would say you give trust until it's otherwise shown, you know, you shouldn't be. And I think in a lot of relationships, sometimes it's the other way. You know, we build trust through our getting to know each other.
Right.
But let's say somebody does something in a marriage, you know, that somebody stepped out of the marriage or somebody's been abusive and they say, oh, I'm really sorry. Again, to say, okay, that's okay, you're giving permission, so to watch that terminology, but to also then say thank you for that, but now you have it in your head that this individual is capable of that.
Yeah.
And
well, it like, reveals what they're capable of, and you know,
exactly.
And truth is, even with people we've known for years, there are times that they will do things that will surprise you, because a lot of times we don't even know what we ourselves are capable of, depending on the circumstances we find ourselves in. To think that we know how we would react in any circumstance is folly. Speaking of that word, I was thinking of another quote during this conversation about trust from John Adams. To trust everyone is foolishness. To trust no one is something worse. And I think that is, you know, inherent in what you were saying. And again, it comes back to the age-old balance. You have to, you know, trust but verify, as Dr. Mike had said in chat earlier, too. And you also trust people to act a certain way. You know, you can trust somebody to be who you know them to be. And you can trust somebody with conditions. Now, obviously, this is something entirely different from a, you know, a trust of romantic life partners. Or even close friends. That kind of trust is something that only is created over many, many years. And so it's so much more precious. But when it's acquaintances, associates, colleagues, people in society, you have a certain level of trust of what you can expect and that you can, you know, likely leave your laptop unattended at the office, things like that. There's just varying degrees when we talk about it.
But that's, and it's situation appropriate and the dynamic appropriate. Because people are very different when we're, you know, emotionally involved as friends versus a coworker, you know, kind of thing. To be honest, though, would I leave my laptop open for anybody, no matter if I worked with them or not and knew them for years? No.
Right. I'm not saying open. I'm just saying leaving it out in the office without being stolen.
Well, that kind of thing. I leave my purse there and open? No.
Right.
I mean, we don't know what other people are going through to know how desperate they are, you know,
true.
What kind of situation they're in.
I've always had a joke, and why not throw it on the broadcast for everybody to hear? It's always been a little thing that I joke with myself about is I will often think to myself, how would this person behave in the zombie apocalypse to gauge their level of integrity and morals and ethics? You know, when the social constraints are off, would they just completely go, you know, sociopathic? Would they just justify any action in the name of survival, or would they have a moral core? And so I call it the zombie apocalypse ratio. And
I think that's a great question, though, Michael. I think that's a super way to look at it, because then it's about who would you trust your life to, and who do you know who would do the right thing?
Exactly.
You know, if I'm putting together my living will, who do I trust would make those right decisions for me, respecting me no matter their opinion? See?
Yeah.
And it's so in the zombie apocalypse, you know, when life just goes to you know where, and you're saying, wow, who steps up to do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Who can survive? Who has it in them to,
well,
you know, so that's a lot of trust.
That brings in a good question, you know, is it enough to survive, or do you need to be more? Do you need to have where do you draw the line with your ethics and things like that? So that's kind of where I put that trust thing into. Where's their line drawn? At what point will they say, I'm willing to break these ethical boundaries in the interest of preserving my own life?
Mm.
And that's kind
that's a
of
good question.
And that I use that to inform me about their true moral character and how much integrity they have to their stated moral values. And it's all just a game. It's hypothetical, you know. It's not as if I have any insight, but it's always something I've, you know, thought about when I examine relationships and things. Maybe it was watching The Walking Dead with friends and things and just listening to some of the jokes. But,
well, Dr. Raven said that's one of the themes of the original Night of the Living Dead. So,
yeah, well, it's always been one of the common, absolutely well put, big pop culture zombie theme, how people act when there's no, you know, social constraints anymore. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, looting and things like that, but that's a whole other issue unto itself.
Like people losing their minds and buying toilet paper?
Oh, my God.
You know,
that makes no sense at all. And did that make sense to anybody? I mean, what was going on?
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, we could really talk about that one for an hour. But
I just have to imagine there are like silos of toilet paper just in various little spots, just all massed. They thought it was going to become the currency. I have no idea what happened.
I don't either. But, you know, trust is a huge thing. And I think in my experience, I trust myself most, and I think in my evolution is learning to trust myself, learning to trust my decisions, my choices, taking responsibility for myself, and like, could I trust myself in a relationship again? I didn't pick them very well, Michael, so everybody can know that. I don't care. And, you know, and
I think
that so
just
I
makes you like post every other person at some point in their lives anyway.
I know, I kind of signed off in that department, but really, I mean, I think I would trust my judgment now, but I don't know, and it doesn't matter to me. But it's really about, do we trust ourselves that we can handle things? Can we do things? So the self-trust first. A trust with other people, I think, is in varying degrees. What does tend to happen is, and I think we all have this tendency, is to collapse into trust.
Mm-hmm.
And when you collapse into trust, there's kind of an immaturity that happens, or feeling like you're blindsided. Sometimes we get blindsided, trust me, and you do not see that coming because people do people things. But when we, like a marriage, for instance, people collapse themselves into that. Again, I'm not saying you ought not to do it. But
you're saying people that behave blindly and just go and take without question?
Exactly. Yeah. And that, I think, is a risk when we're shocked and we think then that forgiveness thing comes into play. How can I forgive that individual? How could I forgive myself? And all the shame that goes with it, and the guilt and the anger, frustration, and, you know, it's self-punishment, if you will. But
so what I'm hearing... Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying when we put forgiveness and trust into the equation together, which I love it how my friend put it. She said they have a relationship. So I can, you know, work with this. Thank you for the acknowledgement because it gives me an opportunity to work on trusting you. But I can't now forget what's happened and, you know, continue the relationship, but again with that limitation. And I think trust is something, depending on the degree of event, what's done, said, and etc., and the dynamic, I think that takes time. But depending on how you process life, sometimes we never forget. I have one of those brains, and it serves me well, but other ways it doesn't serve me at all, so I don't forget stuff. I forget what I did an hour ago.
Be hold on to a grudge.
But where there's been emotional impact things, those things are hard to forget. And part of that's just trying to figure out this world.
Yeah.
And so also, I appreciate both sides. And we talked about paradox not too long ago, where this is that paradox of what is forgiveness. Really, it's about yourself, but in a dynamic of trust no one, but trust someone.
Well,
and it's all true.
You know, I think the big takeaway here is that you should always go through your partner's cell phone, look at their messages, emails, and if they don't want you to, it's because they're trying to hide somebody. I'm sorry, no, scratch that, that's wrong track, but...
I think that was the movie you watched the other night.
No, that's just a common thing that happens in some relationships. A lot of times people want to go through each other's phones. But I had a friend of mine, and she always would just want to grab my phone and go through it occasionally. I don't know why. I didn't care. It's not like I had anything to hide, but it was just funny to me. But it is – well, that's another thing about trust. You know, one reason I have an easier time trusting a lot of people is because I don't show all of myself to that person. Mm. So they can't hurt me. And if they can't hurt me, then I have no reason not to trust them. Because they're in the box of what is plausible and possible. You know, and it's easier, and I'm talking in real world practicality, easier when you're a 6'3" guy to have, you know, no trust issues with, you know, like repair guys coming to the house and stuff like that, because I'm not the demographic that's targeted. And so I don't have those kind of issues. So, you know, everybody has a unique perspective on life and needs to take different actions based on their position in the greater society. Not that you should have to, but in the sense of what happens in life. That being said, you know, a lot of times I have several very close friends and I trust them implicitly. But a lot of times, you know, what I do is I just compartmentalize, perhaps, is a good way of saying it.
Mm.
So I don't have to even worry about it. So is that trust or is that just limiting potential damage?
That is a great discussion, Michael. And those are great questions, great points to make, good self-reflection, you know, because I think we all do that. We all have that tendency. I'm only showing this much of myself. For me, it's more situational because I don't have a reason to show more of myself. We get to know each other, and you might know more, and I don't care, you know, because I don't care if you like me. So, you know, kind of there. But, you know, look, my job resume is kind of, aside from being, you know, I can I can buff it up to say, yes, I'm a writer, et cetera. But really, psychic is not the top of what an employer wants to see. So I don't reveal that. It's situational. Yeah. But for yourself, when you're building friendships, how much of ourselves do we reveal? And there was a lot of years in my life, well, if especially in relationships, intimate relationships, when I was young, if I show that much, then they won't like me, so I won't show it, so they like me. And that's building a false sense of trust, and we all know that, it really, our maturity says, that's not healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that leads perfectly into the relationship between trust and expectations. The reason that so many people's trust is broken is because they honestly didn't have clear expectations with one another in the first place. And, you know, when you have to forgive somebody, it's because they had a breach of protocol. They did something that you view as wrong. They did not meet an expectation.
Yeah.
And it's all about communication. So often, between individuals, between different societies, it is miscommunication and misinterpretation of acts, because one group or person sees it from one perspective, another sees it from a different, you know, completely opposing perspective, and there are elements of truth to both. So it's just a matter of expectations. One culture expects one set of behavior, the other does not. And, you know, offense is caused. Is that offense, you know, a breach of trust, or is it in need of forgiveness? You know, expectations tie into all of it.
I totally agree. Dr. Mike is saying in the chat, trust is also determined. Listen up, because I think this is really important. Trust is also determined by what you have seen, what they've done to others. Now, that is that in itself is another discussion, because how you see somebody treat a waiter or a waitress, or, you know, situations like how people behave.
Yeah.
If they're capable of that there, they're also capable of that here. And that's something a lot of people don't connect the dots on. The other thing that what Dr. Mike has just said really brings me to the case of women, and I can only speak for women here, and I am one, and most of my clientele over the last 50 years has been women. Women don't trust women, and they don't trust judgments. So if you meet, for instance, young woman meets a young guy, he has an ex, and it was a horrible relationship. She says, he beat me up, he's mean to the kids, but the new woman says, I don't believe you. With no investigation, no kind of anything, she wants to be the special one, she can fix him, no problem. So women tend to trash each other and compete in those ways. A very dysfunctional thing going on between women. But it's,
I always wonder, is that just a different type of rivalry that you see between men?
I don't know. I mean, I think men have a different thing, I suppose, but I'm speaking to when you have seen somebody that you want to get involved with who's treated somebody else badly, they're capable of that trust, that kind of dynamic here also.
Yeah.
And we don't want to believe that.
Everybody wants to feel special.
So I've also heard those lines of, you know, where somebody hears something bad about somebody, they say, well, they never done anything bad to me, so I'm not going to worry about it. And I suppose that could be, you know, legitimate if it's kind of a coworker or
context is king.
Insignificant to you. But if it's somebody significant, you know, if some young individual in the family says, old Uncle Joe, you know, touched me in the wrong way, and everybody says, oh, I don't believe that, that's what I mean by what we've seen or heard somebody's done to others. We have to investigate it a little and be, I'm not saying persecute anyone, because everybody embellishes, there's always a story, there's always another side, but be awake, you know?
Be aware of the possibility, and you can't just discount something because it makes life inconvenient.
Exactly. Also, what you've said is about communication, Michael, and you know, sometimes I've been told I'm a little too confrontational, but I want to know.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Is everything good? Sometimes I just shut my mouth, because they're of no consequence to me, and there's nothing I can do about it. I cannot affect change in a good way, so that's when it's not my business.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
So.
absolutely well put. And
Yeah, this is, it's a big discussion,
yeah.
trust and forgiveness and all the other factors that come into it.
Well, and I guess I'm so divided on this. There's such cognitive dissonance because there's one side of me that has a very hard time forgiving certain things because I look at it and like, couldn't you see? It's only because of willful ignorance that you couldn't have seen the consequences of certain decisions. But at the other side, you know, the other side of it is what Dr. Zach said, which I wholeheartedly agree with. It's about, you know, forgiveness is about yourself. It's about the weight you carry around. Well, I'm inferring this, the weight you carry around. And I think that when it comes to, on a personal level, it's entirely different than when we get to the societal level. Mm-hmm. And I fear that if we don't learn how to forgive one another at the societal level, on the tribal level, on the culture war level, then it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. We have to be able to not demonize people that disagree and think differently. And maybe forgiveness isn't the right term, maybe simply tolerance. And just acknowledging that they're not the, you know, somebody that disagrees isn't the proverbial antichrist. There's somebody that may have blinders on. There's somebody that may have, you know, true ignorance. They may have malicious, you know, secondary gains that they're trying to protect. It's, but they're a complex, varied human being just like you. And I think if we can't get to that point again, we're going to be in trouble. So I think there should be a distinction on a couple of levels because we have to trust one another to at least get through the day in society. And the last thing I'm going to say, I know we're going to, we're going over time already, Dr. Vicky.
Yeah.
We need to get to some cards soon here. But the last thing I'm going to say on this is that when it comes to, you know, trust, obviously words are important, but as it's been stated in chat, Dr. Mike and others, actions are paramount. Actions are what counts. Words are great. Words hopefully will project what actions will be, but it is the actions themselves. So,
you know, I might just, anybody like a card, put your name in the chat, please. But Dr. Raven said, watch, observe, and learn people's behaviors before investing trust. Wendy, of course, responded with, she agrees, and she does more observing and learning than speaking. The footnote to that would be, believe what you see. So when you're observing and learning about behaviors, a lot of people, we just don't want to believe it. We don't have a brain file for that. So we tend to, as you said, Michael, that cognitive dissonance. And look at the actual, not what you want. So it's like, I don't want them to be that way. And carry on. It's, that's an actual. So go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, like I said, you have one more thing. You know, when you really think about it, though, on your day-to-day existence, human beings speak far more truths than lies, at least from their perspective. Most people aren't set out to, you know, mislead you just for kicks. If you ask somebody for directions, odds are they're going to try to help you find that place you're looking for. So, at least we have that. On that, we already have some names piling up, so.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we could easily have a part two to this discussion, Michael. So maybe we'll carry on this discussion next week as well, because there's areas here we haven't covered for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely depths to this.
Yeah, we'll do it. So,
all right.
But let's start picking cards. I think what I have here and writing down names quickly is Dr. Mike first.
Mm-hmm.
And
as do I.
So if you pick an inner oracle self-discovery card, I'll pick a tarot card to back that up. And we'll see if there's a little story here, something to make people think. You know, we'll just see what happens.
Absolutely. So, excuse me, I had to cough. So, Dr. Mike, I have number one in the wild card, paradox.
I love that card.
It's as if we haven't heard enough about paradoxes in the last couple of weeks, but a truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Seven of Diamonds, and you know what comes to mind, Mike, is that sometimes what doesn't happen is a blessing in disguise. So that paradox goes there, because seven of diamonds, in my view, is like all the work and the toil, and you get the harvest to it. But it has an equal and opposite meaning as well, where maybe the harvest doesn't come through. But the paradox is, I think something has turning out really well for you, but maybe not the way you expect. So, I mean, that's where we have to have an open mind and not go the real highs and the real lows. Just see it for what it is and see what it means later. So I find that an interesting message. You know, it's sometimes a disappointment can actually be the blessing. Sure. You know, and the well other said. Thing, too, is an opportunity doesn't mean you always have to say yes. So that's a footnote there.
Very well said. All right. We have Dr. Raven next. And I have number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Always a good card.
And I got justice in support of that, Raven. Now, you know enough about tarot also that justice it serves to talk about balance, equitability, fairness. And yeah, we could take it literal to say legalities and such, but gratitude with justice is that I see this, the fairness and equitability in a situation or an exchange of some kind. And what comes to mind is I know people who didn't have money or don't have money to come to me, but they say that, but I say, hey, do you have a pound of coffee? And that's that exchange of value for value and being grateful for that. It may not be the dollars you would prefer, but there is an exchange and a value. I hope that makes sense, the balance.
All right. And I believe we have Dr. Edward next, if I'm on track. And I have wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, it might be in a dynamic conversations, because the Page of Clubs is always a communicator. It likes to look for changes. And so energy levels when it comes to communicating. And I feel like a conversation might feel like a relief. So that's kind of what I'm hearing in my mind, Edward. Having a conversation with somebody, addressing something, and it lowers your entropy, you know, where things, you know what I'm saying, where things seem awry, now it gets in order. So I hope that makes sense to you in some way. I think we have Jamil up next, Michael.
All right, so I have as well. I have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
I get the King of Diamonds in support of that, Jamil. So I think that this message of be you and how you want to do your career, and again, it's don't step out on a limb, and well, maybe you want to, but don't go off a cliff. But it's you know, be you and the ideas that you have in your work in this, because it all has to do with finances. It's all work-related, employment-related, as I see it here. So being you and what you want to do and how you want to do that, and adding new ideas and putting yourself into it. You know, it kind of reminds me when the parents want the child to be a doctor, but this one wants to be a dancer, that kind of thing. So it's just follow your own path in what you want to do. It's the greatest message you could have.
Very good.
All right. We have Jeff next. Michael?
All right. I was actually wondering about that, if it was Dr. Jeff. I have attitude and disposition, number 44. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, I love this Ace of Hearts in support of that, Jeff. I think it has to do with matters of the heart and maybe some adjustments that, you know, you're making or figuring things out. But, you know, when you live from the heart and, you know, have a positive attitude, the mind is open and it allows the freedom in your disposition, kind of how it would go. So I like this. I think it's an affirmation to you, just maybe a little bit of a reminder that there's always little challenges in life, but don't sweat the small stuff. Just live from your heart.
Always such good advice. All right.
Well, we have Audra, I think, is next.
I think you're right. Audra, I have number one, perfection. All right. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. Oh, wow. Audra had this card last week. I thought it felt familiar. Thank you to our card keeper, Wendy. We also had another repeat with Dr. Raven from a couple of weeks back, or a couple of months back, I should say. Audra, you're perfect.
Well, you know, and we're going into the cycle. Remember when we went through a thing of, oh, there's all new cards, and now they're repeating again. I love to see that circle within a circle of how it goes. Well, Audra, in support of perfection here, this time you have, you know, drum roll, the devil, which simply means that place of gray, that confusion, conflict. And so I pulled another card, and it's the Queen of Clubs, and that's you. So in the matters of perfection, even the conflict can be a good thing, rising to the challenge, who you are. You know, you are that perfection, and apply yourself in ways you know to apply yourself to affect the best result or change for yourself. You know, something I check in with myself is, what does it serve if I say this? What does it serve if I do that? And looking a little bit ahead before, you know, I become reactive. And so this perfect music in motion here has its moments where you want to lose your, you know, but you got this. So just standing in who you are, you'll overcome any of these other little challenges. So I still say that something really cool is coming your way, Audra. So don't let any of these other little things upset you too much. You've got this.
Perfect. It's all about, you know, resiliency in the face of adversity. And yeah, you're on that journey, being perfectly you. As Audra pointed out, situations either perfect or imperfect, covering kind of the broad spectrum, but that is kind of the crux of life, isn't it?
It is. It is so. But, I know a lot of times I have to hold myself back too. What?
And hey, you could just look at the titles of the cards and you're a perfect devil. So, hey, yeah, that's a
that's fun.
And we have our card keeper, Wendy, next. Let's see. All right. Number 6, boundaries. Alright, it takes time as I look it up in the book. You'd think if I did this ahead of time, I wouldn't have as much dead air. Alright.
It's okay.
Number six, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, and the Four of Clubs in support of that message, Wendy, is when you're entering into any kinds of agreements or promises or projects with people, understanding, at least clarifying the expectations. Simply when I look at the Four of Clubs, I see it as the only true marriage card in the deck. So I'm not talking, let's say, intimate marriage, but marriage in the sense of keeping your word, binding a promise, and that could even be at work, for how your relationships with coworkers and deeds and how things are getting done. So knowing the boundaries for yourself and others, and making it clear about certain expectations in a way, or how you feel and what you're thinking of things. Sometimes I just want to add, maybe not for you, Wendy, but just off the top of my head, I feel this need to say that sometimes we assume too much of others, and then we make too many demands and we don't always deliver that very well. It doesn't come out of our mouths well because we're generally kind of shocked that they didn't know how to wash those dishes right, and we kind of react. And I had a client the other day who had told me he made a statement to his wife, and she didn't take it well. And I said, "Well, did you qualify it by making that statement and saying, 'I'm just concerned for you'? Oh, no.'" I said, "Well, you made a statement, and she's insecure, and she's thinking you're criticizing." Oh, I hadn't thought about that. See? And I said, when we're, he said, "I was just making an observation." I said, "Well, an observation without a qualification, we don't know where somebody else is at and how they're going to take it." So that's also about in our conversation about how we build trust. So, I
Absolutely.
think,
Well, and words have different meanings to different people, and that makes it all the
exactly.
more complicated. We all
It
define
does.
things differently. We all feel different
Oof.
ways about words based on their use, our associations with them, and there's truth. It's all about expectations again, and setting if you were clearly communicating. Like I was grabbing this bike I thought was just out being tossed, and this guy came out and started yelling at me, saying, "Didn't you know that I wanted to keep that bike? I put the bike lock around it." I said, "That wasn't clear communication. I can just get it off the bolt cutter. I thought it was there just to make sure it didn't get blown away in the wind." So it's about clear communication. But
Yeah, that's true. Well, great topic tonight.
it
Again, we're going to
was.
have a part two next week because I like this and I can see it. It would be good to take it into other areas that I think we can all find relatable, Michael. So,
And, we'll work on my forgiveness of Ollie, who is whining outside the office door right now because he's a mischievous miscreant mutt. But he is
Well, you have to learn to not leave stuff out. That's all.
Well,
And train your dog.
hey, this feels like it's getting personal here.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
But no, he's a great dog, and it's rather intermittent. So when he does do something, it makes it all the more because he's doing good week after week after week. Up, he got the remote. All right, week after week he's doing great. A couple months, it's great. Up, he chewed up my eyeglasses. All right.
Oh,
It's just
man.
random, and usually he's great, but you got to be careful. He's a pup. He's not even a year old yet. He hasn't even
That's
made it
true.
one way around our sun. It's crazy, but
You'll learn to trust each other.
well, I think he trusts me just fine.
Look,
Anywho,
I hope
well,
everybody, it's a crazy world out there. Just hang in there,
it is.
and we'll all touch base again next week and reassure each other that we're all still sane and we're
Absolutely.
good.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think we're going to dive into next week more is, forgive yourself too. Life's
Yes.
tough. Do the best you can always, but when stuff happens, you know, forgive yourself too. We'll dive into that more. But thanks, Dr. Vicky, for joining. I love these chats. Thanks to everybody that joins us. Wendy, Audra, Dr. Mike, Dr. Jeff, everybody, thank you for the repartee, the joking around that we do. I love it. I look forward to seeing you guys every week. And thanks for catching up on the archives. And if you have a chance, come join us live. We have a great discussion. Any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
No, I'll see y'all next week.
All right, see y'all next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.